Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 14. Genesis, chapter 22 and verse 14. Genesis, chapter 22, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, thanking you once again for the privilege of gathering together as your church and opening up your word. And then, Lord, knowing that you are in our midst. And so, Lord, we ask for your blessing on your word, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And, Lord, that you would fill us and guide us with your spirit to follow after you and to honor you and to understand, Lord, what it means to trust you by faith, Lord, in our everyday life, that you might empower us with your Holy Spirit and grace to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. And again, Lord, by your power, not our might. And again, we'll thank you for all that you do. May Northwood Baptist Church be found faithful, waiting and watching, Lord, when you return. And we'll thank you for that, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is twofold, all right? The first one is A Trial of Worship. We're going to see this, of course, where God asks Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. That's an unusual request, right? And so that's a trial of worship, because you'll find, how many of us have ever thought of a trial being worship, right? And it is. This is a trial that God was testing him, and yet the Bible says that Abraham said, "We will worship and come again unto you," and he knew what he was getting ready to do, and Isaac didn't know at the moment what was getting ready to take place. And of course, Isaac is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we find, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and who else? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And Jacob. And so those two individuals are quite different. Isaac had everything done for him, pretty much. And Jacob was the conniver, right? But at the end of life of Isaac, remember what he did? He told Esau. He was flipping the script on the Lord, because it was the younger that was supposed to be blessed over the elder. And so Isaac wanted Esau to go out and get him some venison. And Jacob saw what was taking place. He had some regard for the birthright, but he did it underhandedly, didn't he? But at the end of it all, do you know the Bible says that Jacob leaned on his staff and worshiped and began to tell all the things that God was going to do in the life of his children, and all through down through history what God was getting ready to do. And he had trust in the Lord like never before. When he found out, when his sons came back and God had changed him, if you remember, he wrestled with the Lord. And God touched a hollow of his thigh, and he limped from that point forward, didn't he? And God began to work on him and change his life. And at the end of it all, when he found out that Joseph was alive, if it was the old Jacob, he would have been put out with his sons and said, "Why did you fool me?" But he didn't say that. He said, it's enough now. I believe that Joseph is alive. Let's go to Egypt. And so we find the working of God's Spirit in the life of Jacob. And if you look at the life of Jacob, he did a lot of things that weren't right. Isn't that the case? But never once, listen to this, do you find God blaming him or finding fault. You know what that tells us? God knows our imperfections, and he knows what his work can do in our lives to make us like him. We serve a wonderful, benevolent God. Amen? And here's what I want you to think about as we move forward in these passages. We must look forward to the Lord if we're going to walk in his direction, if we're going to follow him. You can't look back. If all of us look back, we're going to crash, amen? We've made enough mistakes, we've committed enough sins, and yet the grace of God says, "I have forgiven you, look to me, the author and finisher of your faith, and I will bring you to the desired haven, and I will use you." This is God's promise. He wants to glorify himself in each and every one of our lives, individually and collectively as a body of believers. So tonight, as we consider and take note how God would have us to see him, realize that we must look to his promises that he's made, and we want to allow God to bring us to the place where we can see him as the one who will provide everything that we need to glorify him, and then we'll have everything worth living for, right? And so the first title is A Trial of Worship, and the second one is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Well, what will he provide? Everything that we need to do the impossible, because we can't do it without him. And so tonight we want to take note of this work in the heart that God wants to do in the life of all of his children, and God wants us to trust in what he can do for us, and not for us to focus on what we can do for God. That's the focal point. Lord, what is it that you want to do? Because you are the author and finisher of our faith, is he not? So that means he is the beginner, he's the one who created the whole plan, and he is the finisher. He will be the one that will do it all. So let us allow him to finish the work that he started. By the way, when you got saved by grace, amen, that's the only way to get saved. When you got saved by grace, how much of that work was God's? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Guess how much the rest of God's work is in your life? All of it. Amen. Let's give it to him and let him be glorified in us. So let's take a look at the first four verses here in this chapter. And this is the first thought is a heart for God. The second thought will be a heart completely given to God. And the last one will be a heart that is blessed by God. And that's where we want to be. So notice verse one here, a heart for God. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, this is not a negative temptation. This is a trial. He tried him. Now, I want to just stop here just for a second. Well, let's finish this verse, and then I want to ask you something. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So he says, I want you to go to this mountain range, and I'll tell you which mountain when you get there. Isn't that something? But I want to tell you something. As we consider this, let's look at God. Let's look at the God of Abraham that really enabled him to trust in the Lord to do these things, because it's the same way that God wants to work in our lives. Abraham would have never been able to do this had it not been for the working of God in his life. Do you remember? Listen, Abraham knew God's plan and promised to give him a son. But remember what they did at first, right? Well, let's do it like this with Hagar. And that was a mess. That didn't work out right. That was not God's plan. But stop and fathom this. God didn't stop him from doing that. God allowed him to do that. And now he said, now when he comes to the end of his days where he can't really produce any more children, God says, now I'm going to bless you. And Abraham laughed. He didn't laugh at God. He was laughing at himself because he knew there was no way that he could do it. And listen, that's where God wants to bring us, to the end of ourselves, so we can laugh and say, oh, you know, it was God the whole time. He's the one that I needed to look to perform that. Listen, to perform the promises that he has made to all of his children. And so God is wanting us to focus in on that. And then notice this here in verse 3, as we see this heart that Abraham had for God. In fact, I really should say it like this. This heart that God gave him to follow after him. And by the way, through salvation, God has given to you and I the same heart to follow after him. There is no doubt in my mind, if you're saved, you love the Lord. Isn't that the case? And if you're saved and love the Lord, which if you're saved, you do love the Lord, you want to honor him and you want to please him. Take the load off of your shoulders and realize it is God that wants to perform everything he's given to each and every one of us. So notice this here in verse 3. God gives Abraham this trial to take care of, right? Now, if we're in the flesh and God gives us a devastating trial like that, I would be slow to do it, wouldn't you? You know, he said tomorrow, let's do this in the late afternoon. But that's not what Abraham does. Notice verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. So he's obedient. He's obeying the Lord. Did God know? I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I need to. Did God know what Abraham was going to do?
Yes.
So why have him do it? God enjoys to see us perform our faith or our trust in Him. God enjoys watching, and by the way, so do we. So do we. How many times can you look in your life and you had some kind of a situation that you needed God's help? Of course, every we need God all the time, and He performed something and worked something out even better than you imagined. Amen. Isn't that good? And then you say, my God is so faithful. My God is so merciful. He's so good and so kind to me, doing things that I wouldn't even think of Him doing. And yet He does those things. And what He's doing is He's trying to build our trust and our faith in Him, that we completely can trust Him with everything that He asks us to do. All right. And so keep this thought in mind. God already knew what Abraham was going to do, but God wanted to see it, and I'm convinced that it was also a blessing for Abraham and Isaac to see what God did, right? All right, so notice this here let's read verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now we find here a heart completely given to God, verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, listen to this, will go up yonder and worship. Did Abraham know what he was getting ready to kill his son? And worship and come again to you. That tells us, listen, do you remember the promise that God made to Abraham? Through Isaac, you're going to be a multitude. So Abraham was convinced that God, that, listen, I'm going to offer him, but God's going to raise him from the dead. Because, listen, now God didn't say that in those words, but He did say that through this seed, through Isaac, you're going to have a big nation. And so Abraham took God at His word, and he didn't have to have it all spelled out. So God already knew what He was going to do. Abraham knew what God was going to do, but it glorifies the Lord and it blesses us to follow through and watch God perform. Otherwise, listen, does God know what each and every one of us are going to do? And yet He has given us free choice. He knows what we're going to do, but we don't yet. We have the opportunity to trust God or not to trust God. Amen? To be yielded to Him and trust Him and follow after Him. And so for that, by the way, that displays the real love. We're not made to love the Lord. We choose to love the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, right? If you want to serve the gods of this land, God says, go ahead and do it. They're not going to bode well for you. But if you'll follow me, you'll have all of the promises. If you'll trust me and follow me, I will bring you into the land of promise. And you will enjoy all these good things. So God knew. We know that Abraham was willing to follow, and God knew that. But it blesses us to trust the Lord and find His faithfulness as we do so. So notice verse 6. And Abraham took wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. So can you imagine this? Here, Isaac, you carry the wood, and I'll take the knife and the fire. Listen, he's getting ready to offer up his son. Isaac doesn't know yet what's getting ready to go on. This is something that was between he and the Lord, and you had a compliant sacrifice there, which was Isaac, to follow along. So verse 7 says this, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. They're on their way. His father said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? That's a good question. I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the wood, we're carrying all this, but where's the offering? Now, I don't think he asked that in fear. I think that was a genuine question. He doesn't understand what's going on. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son. Remember, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And he said, my son, verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, this is where Abraham did not understand, I am convinced, how this was all going to come to pass. He didn't have all the details of that the Lord was going to stop him. He was going to follow through. And he did that trusting the Lord that God's going to work it out. He did not know how, but he just knew God's going to do it. And so, listen, that's the same kind of confidence God wants us to have in him. So what happens here? It says, a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. So he's taking this time to build this altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. So he laid him on the altar and upon the wood. Now, this is interesting. God has to be in control of all of this. Listen, that's just not natural. That is supernatural. And yet, listen, the world doesn't understand this, but we do. Because we know who God is, and the world doesn't. And Isaac was trusting completely in this. This, I would dare say, did not make any sense at all. But here's one thing Isaac had. He trusted his father, who trusted the Lord, and no doubt he also trusted God. He told him, listen, the Lord's going to provide himself a lamb. He's going to provide the sacrifice. And so what happens here in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife, listen, to slay his son. He was going to do it. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. May I tell you this? I don't believe there was any stress. God was in control. God was not going to allow Abraham to do it. Now follow this, listen. Even if Abraham went to throw his arm down, could God have not stopped it? He could have stopped it. So there was no stress. There was no anxiety. Abraham was simply following the Lord's will. He said, listen, please follow me on this. Ready? He did not understand what was going on. All he understood was what God had asked him to do. Is that not simple enough? And so what he was going to do was what God asked him to do. Do you know, listen, he's given that to you and I as well. We don't have to understand. We just simply, Lord, this is what you said do. And so no doubt you will provide me with what I need to do what you're asking me to do. So if we'll look at the Lord and say, if God has asked me, I'm just going to go through it and watch how God is going to perform it. And listen, we will see God work in our lives in an unbelievable way. And we will see him intervene on our behalf because of our trust or faithfulness in him or to him. He will show us things that we've never seen before. Abraham, listen, please don't forget this. He's never seen anything like this before. So what happens here? The angel in verse 11 of the Lord called out to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Now he didn't go like this. Listen, he didn't go like this. Whew, I was waiting on you. I thought you could have come sooner. But that's not what he was doing. He would have followed through with it. Somehow, listen, trusting that God was going to work it out. Do you know, if we will approach everything that God has asked you and I to do like that, we will watch God perform things that we could never do for ourselves. The problem, and the reason why I know the problem, is because I'm flesh and blood like anybody else. I want to put my hands and lose my head and try to figure that, no, listen, God said do it. No doubt he's given me the power to do what he's asked. I don't have, oh Lord, give me the power to do what you've... No, Lord, how about this? This is how we receive it. Thank you, God, that you have provided everything that I need to do what you're asking of me. And so what happens here? The angel stops him. He says, here am I. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know, and this is where I got ahead of myself, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Question again. Didn't God know already that he was going to do that? Listen, what do you think God, because we're created like him. Does God get happy and does he get angry? Is he pleased? Right? So now watch, tell me, how is God feeling about what he just saw here? He said, for now I know, there in verse 12. He knew before, but he saw it. For now I know that thou fearest God. Why? Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Question, do you think God knew what Abraham was going through to give up his son? He gave up, God gave up his son, didn't he? And God knew he was going to give up his son yet in the future. And so here we find the Lord rejoicing in God, in Abraham's trust in him and faith in him to follow him in an unbelievable situation and circumstance. Isn't that good? God says, I want you to know, this is what he's doing for us. So listen, we don't do God any justice to say, I know what you've asked me, Lord, but I can't do it. Who are we looking at? Is that what faith is? Is faith looking to us? Very little faith. But we need to take that little faith and look where? To the Lord, to God. So listen, anytime God says something that he wants us to do, Lord, you are the provider. You are Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Has he asked of us to do things that are impossible in the flesh? Yes, he has. Everything he's asked us to do cannot be done to the glory of God unless it's done by his Spirit that he's indwelt us with. And where does he want us to put our faith? Not in us. Question, where was Abraham's faith? He'd have never done it otherwise. Don't look at Abraham in one sense. Realize it was God in Abraham that enabled him and gave him that trust. God's going to work it out. God said through Isaac, I trust him. How far do you trust him, Abraham? I'm going to get ready to kill him. I'm getting ready to snuff out his life. And God is still going to fulfill the promise he gave me. How is he going to do that? He's going to bring him back to life. This is a picture of his son that was offered for us. And that the sacrifice of God. And so God wants us to trust him in our sacrifice. Present yourselves a living what? And that's something. Trust him with that. Just present yourself. Lord, here am I. You're going to provide. I'm just going to take the next step forward. And so, let's read verse 12 again. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. He was blessed to see that. And again, I just want to remind you of this. He already knew he was going to do it. But God was thrilled. He says, now I see. Right? Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. We can talk about how the ram got there. God put it there, amen? And God had prepared it. It may have been there the whole time. I don't know. I don't know how it worked out, but God has a way of providing, doesn't he? And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which again means the Lord will provide. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And now the last thought here is the heart that is blessed by God. And we're just going to read a couple more verses here. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing. What was this thing? faith in God. And hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. He was willing to surrender everything. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Isn't that something? You listened to me, you trusted me, and you obeyed me. That's all God's asking from us. Trust him. And in trusting, we obey him, even when it doesn't make sense. And last verse. So Abraham returned unto his young men, just like he said, right? The lad and I are going to go and worship, and we'll come back to you. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Isn't God good? God will bless us just by simply trusting what he said and believing that he has provided everything that we need to follow him. So tonight, God wants us to not look backward, look fresh forward, right? With fresh eyes this way at God's provision. God will provide. What does he ask me to do? God will provide. Lord, I thank you this day, and I'll thank you tomorrow, that you have given to me everything, listen, in Jesus Christ. Amen. I can have all the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. There's many fruits of them in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to pray for patience, kindness, gentleness. We just need Jesus. Amen? Amen. And if we'll walk in him, and thank the Lord that if you're saved, you have him. You're in him. You're abiding in him. Just stay in him. Don't look at yourself and the world and anything else. Just, Lord, you don't have to pray for abiding. If you're born again, you're in Christ. Amen. You're already abiding. Does the branch that's hooked up to an apple tree, does the branch in an apple tree say, oh, bear fruit? No, boom, boom, fruit comes. Because that's the job of the tree. The branch just is abiding, and so the fruit comes. It's just that easy. If we are abiding in Christ, the fruit's going to come. Because Christ is going to provide that. Amen? Amen? And so tonight, God says, what is he saying in a nutshell? Keep your eyes where? On the Lord. Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your mercy, your grace, and Lord, that you are truly the provider of everything that we need. We don't have to do anything of ourselves. You have given to us everything in the sacrifice and in the blood sacrifice, Lord, and the resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything in him. May we, by faith, Lord, may you open up our understanding to take hold of that truth, receive it, and walk in it, Lord, that we might truly possess the promises that you have intended for us through your Son. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.